If you'd like to look at Ecclesiastes, the seventh chapter, I'm going to read a passage here, Ecclesiastes 7. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Read a passage like this, you realize that we naturally aren't like God. Maybe made in His image, but we are not like God. If we look around us today, these things aren't considered that wise. Definitely aren't considered that compassionate, probably. But a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death and the day of one's birth. God meant this. It's not true if you're a wicked person, but the idea is that we're to take from God's Scripture's wisdom. And this is true. Next Saturday, when Brother James' memorial is held, I'm sure this will be reflected, that is a good day. The day of his death was a good day for him, much better than his birth, happiness that brings. Probably some of you, if you Facebook with some of the same friends that I have, you know, this week, I think it was Monday night, or maybe it was Tuesday morning, I'm not sure how that worked, but twins were induced. A young mother, before she was a mother, she had a cancer situation, and she was told she would never have children. And after she got married, she was in a car wreck a few months ago, and she had some broken ribs, and she was doctoring for this, and some things just didn't quite add up, and they discovered that hopefully in a proper way, or maybe they knew that she was pregnant before she had some radiation that could damage those boys. But a mother that never expected to bear children was not only pregnant, but she was pregnant with twins. And weekly, we got reports from my cousin's daughter about what was going on with her daughter. And the children possibly would be stressed, and so they would try to counter that. And almost miraculous things they try to do today to ensure they would last long enough, stay in the womb where they needed to be for as long as possible. I think it was last week they determined that the smaller child was in stress, and so they needed to induce labor on Monday. And I think it was Tuesday morning that she, I'm not certain on that, but it didn't take long once the process, and she naturally delivered two twin boys, and they're doing quite well. How happy Glenda was that she could report all this, and they were doing fine, and that the pregnancy lasted long enough that they didn't have to be in incubation. They were able to breathe on their own. But God says, better is the day of one's death. If we're righteous, how true. I think he meant that even with his own son. Maybe he was mysterious about the birth, because Christ was with God in the creation. And a lot of people don't want to accept that. A lot of people, he's the Christian Messiah, but he's not any better than other people. That they might want to think that, people, non-believers. But Christ was with God during the creation, so really his coming into this world wasn't anything new. The thing that was miraculous was that he was born of a virgin. But Christ was born, and the world wants to give it a time, a date. And we think of commercialism today. Well, they had commercialism back then. It wasn't the same. I'm sure it's not as intense as the commercialism is today, but the church that Christ established with his apostles, some of it fell astray. And soon we find that we're going to worship, or we're going to remember Christ's birth on a certain day. And it's even more convenient if you can bring people from different beliefs in and have something all on one day. So we get a lot of pagan things brought into what was some people consider the birth of Christ, December 25th. It's a dark time of the year, so it's nice to have lights. And I think that's probably, you know, a proven fact that people enjoy lights when it's a dark time of the year. It's probably healthy to have lights. Some people have certain lights they bask under for a certain amount of time to help them get through this period of time without as much depression and so forth. But there's probably four pretty good reasons that Christ wasn't born anyways close to December 25th. One that always seemed to lead to not being around that time of year for me was that the shepherds wouldn't be out in the fields that time of year. Israel isn't drastically different from climate as what we are here. But for me to think of, you know, times of year that would be down to zero and below, possibly in December, this wouldn't be the time. The shepherds would be out in the fields, the sheep would be in the sheepfold, and it wouldn't be birthing time. Reason number one, that Christ wasn't born into this world on December 25th. Reason number two, along the same lines, is they were going to for the census, and even the Roman government wouldn't have people coming in what could be a time of the year that would be hard to travel. They would want their taxes. They would want their monies. They wouldn't make it in a time of the year that would be hard to travel. Another reason, if you associate it with the time of, we know that there was some leaping in someone's womb when it wasn't Mary talked to Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Mary were pregnant at the same time, and you can relate that to John the Baptist's birth and find out that if she were pregnant when Elizabeth was pregnant, that it wouldn't be a December 25th birth. There's other things that, along the lines of timing and not synchronizing with December 25th, that this is not Jesus' birth. So God was a man of his word and encouraging us to think of other times that were more important than December 25th. In Acts the 12th chapter, my Bible doesn't use the word, but the King James does. It's the only time I think we ever hear the term Easter, and it's considered by most a mistranslation. In Acts 12, we have the story of James being killed by Herod, beginning with verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter. And of course, he's thinking about killing Peter, so he seizes Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, where the King James would translate Easter. The same church that wanted a birth date for Jesus and to celebrate that must for some reason desire to have its gets on holidays that the Passover was Jewish. We're calling ourselves Christian. They must have thought, we want something with a different name. And so probably the same commercialization that we see like Diana and the Ephesians and so forth, the same commercialism that we see in the Bible, not the extent that we see today, but the same commercialization wants something different, wants something that they're going to consider Christian. And we see that, you know, rarely that Easter falls on the same day as Passover. But God chose His Son to die at the time of the Passover, the days of the unleavened bread. Peter's plucked at this time by the king. King Herod is planning on disposing of him. But because the days of the unleavened bread, those unleavened bread days were leading up to the holiday or the remembrance, not necessarily a holiday, that Christ established, excuse me, that God established with Moses, that they had the plagues. And what was the last plague? Involved the death of the firstborn. But what did the people of Israel, the Israelites down in Egypt, what must they do so that it wasn't death of their firstborn? They put blood on the doorposts of their dwelling. They would paint blood over the doorposts. And the death angel would pass over that on the night of that last plague. The Egyptians arose, and it was a big day of mourning for them. It wasn't anything to celebrate in the death of their firstborn. But the Israelites, if they had followed through, and I think they apparently all did, their firstborn wasn't dead in their home. Because they had been righteous with God and done what He had asked them to do, there was no death among the Israelites. And this allows them to begin to leave Egypt, their captivity. God had them down there for reasons to protect them, to allow them to survive. We know the story of the famines. They had to go down there because this was teaching His people a lesson. And He gave them the plagues to allow them to escape Egypt when it was time. But they had to go through with the blood on the doorpost to protect their family and keep them all alive. Because it wasn't time. He didn't want them to lose their firstborn. Allowing Pharaoh to lose his firstborn, He began to let them free. And even though He changed His mind, they were able to escape and go back to the promised land that eventually, in all due time, that God wanted them to have. Does this make Passover more special today? Because God allowed I'm not talking about Peter here, I'm talking about Jesus was also taken by the Romans and was crucified by the Romans with the Jews' persistence the same time of year. He wasn't killed on Passover, He was crucified and died earlier. He arose on the Passover. So we're not trying to blend Christianity with Judaism here. We're just saying this is the time God used. Does this mean we need to celebrate Easter? I don't think we have any reason to celebrate Easter at all. Do we have reason to celebrate Passover? I think the Jews have every right to celebrate Passover because we find Paul and the early Christians that were Jews celebrating Passover. But do we need to celebrate Passover? I think we celebrate Passover every time that we come together on the first day of the week and partake of these emblems. Because no longer did we have to, like in the last night or so, have to paint our doorposts with blood. We come together because we have a Savior that died for our sins so that even the Jews shouldn't have to keep the Passover today, because Jesus has been the Passover of Passovers. He died, the perfect Son of God died for the sins of all man. Now it's up to all man whether he lets Jesus wash his sins away. The sins were rolled back from the time of the patriarchs, time of the Jews on Sinai, all the ones that have been given the Passover, their sins were rolled back until Christ died for their sins. So this is truly getting back to Ecclesiastes 7. The day of one's death is much more important than the day of one's birth. The day of one's death, it's fantastic being able to go on and be with our Savior if we have lived the proper life, if we've lived the life and realize what God has given us, the truth. He's not like us, so we need to study His Word, know what His Word is, know what we need to do to be right with God, so that when we think about things like Easter and Christmas, how we choose to worship this, how we choose to worship God, and how we live our lives. Are we worshiping something other than what we ought to, or are we remembering the Passover that saved us from our sins? We do this every Lord's Day. We come together. We find that an example of the early Christians coming together every Lord's Day and breaking bread. Now, they may have met every day of the week and broke bread, but on the Lord's Day, when they broke bread, it's referring to Christ's body, His sinless body, the unleavened bread that was there from the unleavened feast, and the blood representing the fruit of the vine representing the blood that He shed. So, Christ's nativity, if that's what you want to call it, was a wonderful story. But His death is much, much greater and much, much more important. And it's what God wants us to remember, not His birth, but His death and what it does and what it means to our salvation. Marty said, the water's ready. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to know what the Word of God is and what you need to know. The eunuch said, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, then you should be baptized. It doesn't take a lot to know what you need to know to get started. We need to repent of our sins and follow that with burial. Burial of water. If the water doesn't wash away our sins, Christ's blood washes away our sins when we go in that water. Whatever your needs be, if you'd like to place a membership or have something of special need, we urge you to take care of that as we stand and sing the song of invitation.